I guess it's still the morning, almost afternoon, everyone. My name is Graham Goldbeck, and this is my presentation, Making a Pitch for Better Command. So a little bit of background. I work for the company called SportVision. For those who don't know, we're the company behind PitchFX, HitFX, FieldFX, GameLab, which you'll see a little bit more of in a bit, and for today's presentation, CommandFX. So just for a little background, for those unfamiliar what CommandFX is, CommandFX measures the location of the catcher's glove at release. So basically, we fix the plane a couple feet behind home plate, and then through computer vision and additional cameras, we're able to measure where the catcher's glove is in the horizontal and vertical dimensions right when the pitcher is releasing the ball. Then, with PitchFX and the equations of motion formula, we're able to derive where the ball ends up when it's in the same plane as the catcher's glove. So then we know, you know, where the glove was set up and where the ball ended up going. So subtracting those two numbers, we can derive measurement of command in both the vertical and horizontal directions. For this presentation, we'll refer to command X is measuring command in the horizontal direction, command Z is measuring command in the vertical direction, and then command magnitude is just the absolute distance from where the glove was set up and where the ball ended up being. So, you know, quickly, this is kind of a visualization to help you understand what CommandFX is. You can see we measure the catcher's glove at that target start point, and then we know where the ball ends up in the target endpoint. So with those two numbers, we can derive command. So for today's data set, like I mentioned, we have CommandFX data dating back to 2010 for the major league data. We have some minor league CommandFX data. I'm going to use that a little bit to compare skill between leagues. But I want to highlight that our MLB data set is not complete. We don't have complete minor league coverage like we do in the major league. So I wouldn't put a ton of stock into some of the numbers you see on an individual basis. But on a league-wide basis, I think it covers things pretty well. In this presentation, we're pretty much going to be talking just about fastballs only. So that's about 1.5 million pitches in the major league level. I feel that sometimes CommandFX is not the best representation for some breaking pitches. Especially on like an 0-2 count, a guy burying a slider in the dirt or something like that. Sometimes CommandFX, he may not, you know, put his glove down on the dirt, so it's hard to tell where exactly he's aiming. But for this presentation, if you rely just on fastballs, I think we should be pretty good. And then also, we are only dealing with hitter and neutral counts. The reason I chose this are these are the situations where pitcher command should be the highest. What you'll notice and you'll see in a bit is that pitcher counts could feature a lot of like high fastballs up and out of the zone, and what you'll find out in a bit is catchers aren't necessarily, they may call for a high fastball. With the CommandFX data, they're not necessarily sticking the glove 4 feet in the air. So if we stick with just hitter and neutral counts, I think we should get rid of a lot of those types of pitches. Otherwise, it might bias the data set. So just one of the first things we want to see with this type of data are where our catcher's setting up. So this is a heat map I made. This is just you have the vertical and horizontal dimensions. I kind of plotted a standard strike zone on top, and you can see where catchers are generally setting the mitt up at release. You can see there's pretty much two key, it's kind of dark to see, but there are two key like purple hotspots basically right on the corners of the strike zone. One's a little more outside than the other. And like I mentioned before, you can see there's not really any high targets on the data set. Like I said, even when pitchers seem to be throwing the ball high, they're not setting the glove up that high. So in that sense, most of those presentations you'll see will be dealing with command mostly in the X direction, just because with the Z direction, you have to make some assumptions about, okay, the pitch ended up high. Was he trying to throw high or was he trying to throw low? Rather than deal with that too much now, we're going to focus mostly in the X direction because that is pretty much where if he's setting up outside, he's trying to throw outside. If he's setting up inside, he's trying to throw inside. So moving on here, we saw those two blobs, so I just wanted to look at next is where a catch is sitting up when we split it out by left-handed or right-handed batters. So we can see versus lefties, and so this graph is from the pitcher's perspective. So a left-handed batter would be standing on the left side of the graph. You can see most of the time they're setting up outside. They're setting up right on that edge of the zone most of the time. And when we compare it to right-handed batters here, similarly, they're mostly righties are setting up on the outside as well. You'll notice that the lefty zone for outside seems a little further pushed out than the right-handed zone. I think this gels with a lot of the work we've seen so far. We're using pitch effects on what called strikes, since lefties generally been getting called strikes a little further outside than right-handed batters. I think it makes sense that catchers are reacting to that by setting up a little further outside so they can get more called strikes, because in general, a called strike further out is going to be worse for the batter. But you'll notice on the right-handed chart relative to the left-handed chart, there's the inside blob as well. And the right-handed batters, they seem to be targeted more inside and off the plate than the left-handed batters. And so we'll get to that more in a sec here. So we said, like I said before, we're going to deal mostly with the horizontal dimension here, since the vertical dimension may not be represented quite well yet. So this chart, I flipped around right-handed batters, so everyone is facing the same side of the plate now, because in pitch effects data set, negative direction is towards third base and the positive direction is towards first base. But now, flipping around, so we have everything to the right is outside, everything to the left is inside, and I've grouped them by pitcher-batter hand in this matchup. So you can see here, there's a lot of interesting things going on. As we saw from the blob graph, for the blue and orange lines are left-handed hitters, and you can see they're pushed further outside than the green and red lines by about an inch or two for the same-handed matchup and a couple more inches for the opposite-handed matchup. And then you'll also notice what's really interesting, I think, is when you look at the inside chart, you can see there's clearly outside and inside. There's two loops here. And the inside chart for the right-handed hitter or left-handed pitcher, I think, is particularly interesting. That's a much higher hump there on the left side than you see with the other three charts. And so this was kind of curious to me. I didn't really know why. If right-handed batters were behaving different than left-handed batters, that I could understand, but why would just left-handed pitchers behave differently than right-handed batters? So I was talking to a left-handed pitcher recently about this, and he told me it has a lot to do with the swing plane of the batter, whereas lefties seem to be more compact and kind of like drag the bat head through the zone more as opposed to righties. They don't mind being pitched inside as much, he said, because they can kind of turn on the ball and take it to right field, whereas righties seem to be more out in front and swinging through the pitch, so when you try to throw them inside more, they get jammed more. So that's why I believe you see, like I said, the big difference between the dimensions of the two charts, but then also lefties seem to just be willing to come inside more in righties than righties are, which I thought was particularly interesting. So we saw now where catchers are setting up most of the times for these batters. One of the interesting things I want to see now is, okay, well, they set up there, what actually happens when they pitch there? So we have the same graph as before, but now I've added this dotted line here, which shows you, for each of these scenarios, the actual distribution of the horizontal location of where the pitch ended up. Remember, this is not when it crosses the front of the plate, but when it's in the same mitt as the catcher's glove. So this is kind of the result of the pitch. And like I said, it's pretty interesting because you can notice you lose that hump, the delineation between inside and outside if you're just looking at where the pitch location. So I think this just highlights one of the uses of command effects is that if you looked at just the pitch location data, it looks like it's centered on the outside part of the plate, which is what we see in command effects, but the separation of the inside part kind of disappears. It seems to be just a more smooth slope downwards. So with command effects, you get that more added information than you would if you just use pitch effects. But again, notice how all those curves behave fairly similarly. If you look just towards the end of the graph on the dotted line, you can maybe see the green and red ones are a little higher than the blue and orange, but for the most part, they behave pretty similarly. So while they may be setting up differently, where they're actually throwing the ball seems to be more normal distributed. So like I was mentioning before, we can look at the same thing with the vertical distribution, and we can see with this graph, it's almost entirely the same, which is why I said before we're going to focus mostly on the horizontal side. The vertical side, it almost doesn't matter handedness matchup, it doesn't matter who's pitching, who's batting. Where they're setting up is about 20 inches off the ground or so, and then where they're actually throwing the ball is about 24 or so. One of the reasons I think they may be setting up lower has to do with catcher framing a little bit. The idea being they are always setting up on the bottom part of the zone because if a ball actually hits that bottom part of the zone, that's probably the most advantageous for them, but they also have to kind of frame in two dimensions. They have to make sure that the glove is inside enough, looks like it's inside enough over the plate, and looks like it's high enough to be called a strike. Whereas if they set up high and the pitch comes high, that was going to be a strike anyway. The umpire was going to call that a strike anyway. But if you set up low, and the pitch comes high, then your bases are covered. So we've seen targets a little bit here. One thing that I thought would be interesting was look at pitchers themselves individually and see if they change their targets based on batter headedness. So this chart here, a little explanation. So on the top here, we have the pitchers, and then we have the percentages here. So the opposite minus same, what I'm saying here is we take the percent of the time they set up inside to opposite-handed batters, and the percent of the time they set up inside to same-handed batters and subtract the two. The idea being that they, assuming that it was through outside to both batters, this number would be zero. So the pitchers on the top of this list have the highest level of opposite minus same percentage. And so what this is basically saying is regardless of what handedness the batter is, this pitcher is always setting up in the same location. So for opposite hand batters, he's setting up inside, but for same-handed batters, he's setting up away. So at least from this offhand, from this group of pitchers, it seems to be mostly pitchers who fall in like the fastball breaking ball camp, which I think makes sense a little bit. You want to set up everything away so they can chase sliders down away, and then they also seem to be, like Clayton Kershaw, he'll backfoot sliders against righties, and we see that as well. And then the bottom of the chart here, they're the opposite ones. So these guys set up more inside to same-handed pitcher batters and then away more to opposite-hand batters. So I think this group you see more of your, like your two-seam changeup guys who are probably want to set everything away from opposite-hand batters, and then for same-handed batters, you want to like probably, they're not throwing the changeup against them, and then for the fastball, they're running it more in on their hands, probably because they have heavy tail drilling in on their hands. So Willie Peralta, he's mostly a fastball slider guy, so I'm not sure what he's doing there, but maybe he could tell you something different. So similarly, we've been looking at how pitchers have been targeted. What I thought would be interesting to look at are batters being targeted differently. So this group right here, this is just the percentage of the time that catchers are setting up inside of batters. So this is, I guess, what you would be, how they're trying to attack them. You'll notice on the top here that, what happened there? All right. The top of this list are all right-handed batters, which gels with what we saw earlier about right-handers being setting up more inside than the left-handed batters. They seem to be, in this case, a lot of heavy power guys, like Morse, Abreu, Stanton, Holiday. I think these are some of your bigger, like better hard ball hitters. So I guess they're trying to run more inside on them so they can try to jam them, I guess. The lefty group, so you can see these are the top five lefties being targeted inside. Similarly, there's a lot of power hitters. I think there's a lot more of you guys who have like your uppercut type swings, so therefore you can try to jam them inside. And then Munenori Kawasaki, I'm not exactly sure again what he's doing up there, but they're targeting him inside for some reason. And then the bottom of the list, we have the guys who are being targeted inside the least. And I think that's kind of an interesting group of batters too. You have a couple of lefties and like Udley and Carpenter who are very good contact lefties, very patient lefties. So I think they're just, pitchers are throwing away because like they're gonna take those pitches most of the time. And so hopefully they can get a couple strikes there. And then a couple of like more heavy swing and miss righties. So again, they're probably just throwing balls away just because it's safer. So we've talked a little bit about targets for a bit, and now I think we should look at the pitcher's ability to hit these targets. So this first graph here, where do pitchers miss? So this heat map is just showing you in what direction pitchers miss when they throw a ball relative to where they set up the glove. So this one is just if you miss to the left, if you miss to the right, if you miss up or down. You'll notice that the dark blob is kind of centered a little bit, maybe about 5 or 10 inches. So they miss on average up more than they miss down. In terms of missing to left or right, it's pretty even. If instead we separate by where they're trying to throw, so for pitchers, I turn lefties around. So glove side is everything to the left, and then arm side is everything to the right. And then we set up their target if they're trying to throw glove side or they're trying to throw arm side. So I think it's particularly interesting here. It looks like pitchers are tending to miss up in the direction that they're throwing, if that makes sense. So you can see on the left, they're aiming glove side, and when they miss glove side, it's up. And then when they're aiming arm side, if they miss arm side, it's up. This generally means that they're running it in, up and in on batters of the same handedness, which I think makes sense for the most part. But it's pretty interesting. Like I said, you can see the two graphs kind of, now you can see why the last graph was even. It's very, depending on their location, the graphs change a little bit. So this is just some of what we saw in tabular form. Like I said, command X is just in which direction they're missing on average and the magnitude of it. But most of the times with most pitchers, they're missing pretty normally distributed. So in that sense, command X is just going to be a low number. So instead, if we take the absolute value of command X, this is just telling us in general, you know, it doesn't matter left or right, he missed by this much. And you can see with both command X and command Z in the absolute space that pitchers seem to miss more glove side than they miss arm side. And I myself was not a pitcher, but I can imagine it just throwing, it's probably more natural to throw arm side. That's just kind of way, since fastball's tail mostly, that's kind of the way the ball is going. And it's probably a little bit easier than throwing glove side. And we can kind of see a little bit more of that in a bit. So moving along, okay, we see now that we see where pitchers are setting up, we see how much they're missing by. We want to look at a couple things about how does command affect other measurements of pitcher miss success rather than just command. So in this case, we're using HitFX data here to see the average batted ball speed of every given hit, and what I've done is just missing by target. So if the pitcher missed inside or the pitcher misses outside to a batter, how hard did he hit the ball? So we can see inside here, and we have outside here, and the graphs don't quite mirror each other exactly, but there's a general trend here where it seems to be if you set the target up inside, as we see on the left here, and you miss inside, the batter seems to be hitting the ball harder, which I thought was interesting. And then similarly, if you set up outside and you miss outside, the batter's hitting the ball harder. I wonder if that's, I'm not exactly sure what's going on here. I think there may be something along the lines of maybe batters know where they're generally expected to be pitched. So maybe if they're expected to be pitched outside, if they miss a little bit further outside, they're kind of, that's their wheelhouse possibly, or same inside. I'm not sure if that is the reason or something else is going on, but it's pretty interesting. And like I said, you'll notice in both cases, like the lowest point on the graph is actually a couple, if you're setting up inside, the lowest, where they hit the ball the least hardest, is actually a couple inches outside, and then when you set up outside, where they're hitting the ball the least hardest, a couple inches inside. So it suggests if you're going to miss your target, you almost want to miss in the opposite direction a little bit. Similarly, how does command affect swinging strikes? Setting up a target inside, setting up a target outside. In this case, this kind of gels, I say, with more conventional wisdom. It doesn't seem to matter too much where the target is set up. Just the further inside you throw the ball, the higher a rate you're going to get of swings and misses. And I think that generally probably makes sense. So moving along here, one of the other things we want to look at was how does command change through age, different levels of baseball, and then kind of also the future of measuring command. So as I mentioned before, we have some minor league data on command effects as well. So these are just, these are not complete league averages because it varies by level, and probably the further down you get in level, the less data we have. So it's still interesting, I think, to look at the actual numbers. So we're only dealing in absolutes here. You can see in Command X, it's lowest in the majors, and it's actually second lowest in Double A, and then High A ball, Triple A, and A are all the same, and the lower levels are worse command. I'm not exactly sure why that would be. It could be they keep better pitching prospects at Double A more. It could also be something along the lines of pitchers who at Triple A or pitchers who may have gotten by with their stuff quite a bit, but haven't made the leap to the MLB because of their command. So they kind of like stall out there. That could be a reason. You know, as in Command Z, similarly, it's across the board. Command Z is a little bit different, like I said, because it's hard to tell if they're throwing up more or out more, but that could be something going on. One other thing that could be going on, as we'll see in this aging graph, so how does command age? This first, we talked about setting up the catcher's glove. So this is the glove location as players get older, like where the catcher's setting up the glove. And you can see it's generally more and more outside. The upper part of the graph is outside, down is inside. So as players are getting older, they're sending the glove up more and more outside, which I think generally makes sense. It's probably a combination of not setting up inside as much and also setting up further outside, probably because their fastball is decreasing in speed as they're getting older, so they don't think they'll be able to jam or throw inside as much as they used to, and batters will probably turn on it. But actual command, so again, this is just measuring command in the absolute value of X. As players age, at least through this, I was not finding much. That drop in the beginning and then it kind of goes back up. I would say this, compared to the graph on the left where there's a clear trend line going here, I would say it's hard to say what's happening here. One of the things that might posit is that if you reach the majors already, you kind of have a certain level of command, and maybe that's what it is. You've thrown so many pitches by the time you've already gotten to Major League Baseball that your command is not really going to change much. You kind of are what you are. I think it'd be kind of interesting to maybe do the same path on younger players. I mean, definitely something like high school or college kids, or even probably the low-level minors would be interesting to see how command ages from even a younger age at like less pitches on their arm. Unfortunately, we can't really do that with the minor league data set we have now because it's incomplete. Guys move between leagues, so you don't have enough pitchers, I'd say, to make an accurate representation of an aging curve. But I think it'd be something that'd be pretty interesting when you go on. And then finally here, so one of the products I mentioned earlier, some of you may have seen my presentation last year at this conference about biomechanics. Back then I said it was BioFX, name pending. It actually has a name now. The product is called GameLab. We're very happy with the progress of the product. We are looking to test this out a little more in a couple parks this year and roll out pretty heavily as the season goes on. So what this is basically measuring is the positions of the player's body at different parts of the delivery and also the hit. So this chart, which I think is particularly interesting, is the same pitcher from one of our data sets. This is at when he releases the ball. So this is a capture of his skeleton at release. And the target in blue was when he was throwing arm side, and the target in red was when he was throwing glove side. And you can see the bottom half of his body is kind of tilted a little bit, but it's not like he's stepping on a different part of the mound or he's throwing differently that way. But you can see the top of his body is much more angled towards away. I don't know if he's maybe less balanced when he's throwing glove side than arm side. Maybe that's why we see some of the difference in numbers we do. We can see here, I've kind of represented what happened on this pitch. You can see him blue when he was throwing arm side. He almost, pretty close to hitting the glove there. But in red, he lifted pretty short. This is from the catcher's perspective. So it's only in the X and Z dimensions. So you kind of, I think it'd be much better representation in 3D, but at least in 2D, you can kind of get a sense of this ball is coming at you, and this is kind of where it ends up. But we're really excited about this GameLab product, and I think, like I said, using it to measure command this way from pitchers, you can maybe imagine scenarios where you're also capturing what the catcher is doing for command. Like instead of just measuring where his glove is at release, you could follow him a couple parts along the trajectory. You can see, okay, he did set up high. He raised the glove up at one point, so he wants the ball high. You could see that now if you were following him, his biomechanics throughout the entire time. You could also see the catcher's stabbing at the ball. If you could see the catcher's balls coming into him and how that affects called strikes and things like that, I think it'd be very interesting going forward. So that's my presentation. Thanks for your time. I think I have a couple minutes for questions and then the next presentation. Yeah, I'm not sure. Like I said, unfortunately, our data set is not huge for the minor league, so I can't necessarily want to draw too many conclusions from it. One thing I think I forgot to mention, too, it could be just the weeding out of pitchers rather than them actually getting better as they go through the levels. It could just be if you have poor command at double A, you're not going to show up, or poor command in low A ball, you're not going to show up in high A ball data set because you're just out of the data set. I think that would be another interesting thing to look at.
Are
Yeah, I think that could be something to look at. I didn't have it handy with me yet, but looking at probably batter state or base runner state, I think would be kind of interesting, especially if there's a guy on second, maybe the catcher is trying to deceive him. I would think that when you have a really large data set like that, a lot of that gets wiped out. It's kind of noise, but if you filtered more on some of those things, I think you could probably see some differences. One more, yes. Yeah, you could definitely look at pitchers year to year. We're getting enough years of command effects data now where that's probably more relevant. Now that we have data 2010, there's like four consecutive years, so you could do that type of thing. I think it'd be pretty interesting to look at. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I think that'd be pretty interesting. Great. Thanks for your time.